like you better with glasses.
Too bad. I like me better without them.
Hey, pretty fans. It's book club time. Casey's very excited about book club. I am your host, Vicky Visalia, and with me is Casey.
Hey.
And obviously, we're the Better With Glasses podcast. We're launching these mini-series during this drought that we have. I guess the writer's strike is coming to an end. So since we were last on air, we got that going for us. Hopefully the SAG and the Actors Guild will follow suit. What other news is out there?
I don't know. You got some housekeeping for us, don't you?
Yeah, so I have some book club housekeeping, but also I guess we finally got a date for Mean Girls. The musical.
Whoa.
Movie.
That's so fetch.
So fetch. And that is obviously starring Chris Briney as Aaron Samuels.
Yo, tell me why we saw a Jeep the other day with a So Fetch license plate.
Yeah, and it was a red Jeep.
It was a red Jeep.
So we're like, huh, number one, TSITV in the wild. Number two, a perfect combination of something that is not Conrad coded, Chris Briney coded and Jeremiah coded. It was brilliant. But anyway, the headline is that officially Mean Girls, the Paramount movie, is actually going to go up on the big screen January 12th.
Whoa.
Yeah. So Chris Briney on the big screen.
Just in time for January 13th.
Which is what?
Nothing.
I think that's MLK weekend or something like that. So maybe it's a long weekend.
So that's exciting.
It is very exciting. So before we launch into this book club.
Thank you guys for reading, all y'all.
Thank you for reading. We had tons and tons of submissions. You guys were emailing as instructed, your notes, your thoughts. We're going to shout out some of those. And candidly, you know, we went through every single one of them. And no need to apologize. Like, we were getting like pretty lengthy responses, but I love it. It's going to color a lot of our conversations today.
Yeah, I feel like we could have gone longer than six chapters because that shit went fast.
Oh, the actual rereading of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so much to talk about, right, inside of them. So
it's like one page, boom, new chapter.
That's true. That's true. All right. So if you guys are not aware of what the book club is, basically, we are more or less reading together. The book is
We'll Always Have Summer.
By Jenny Han. This is the third book in the trilogy of The Summer I Turned Pretty. This is theoretically the template, I guess, for season three. Now, we have no idea how closely it'll follow the book, as we normally don't, but it's all we've got. So on the heels of book two, so the end of book two is Motel, Conrad exits, Belly and Jeremiah are together. Same thing, get in the car, hand-holding, all that good stuff.
Just like the show.
Just like the show. Not exactly like the show, but that's how book two ends. So, ready to get into it?
I am. One quick note.
Yes.
Lots of covers.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of covers. And doing the research for the book club, we got like the cover with the seashells, the beach cover. I feel like there could be another.
And the seashell one is the purple one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then, when we get
movie poster cover.
Exactly. Yeah. When we get season three officially, we'll get the one with the actors on it. I'm super excited about that.
I know you are. Yo, I got Vicky the dopest birthday present. She doesn't even know about it yet because her birthday's not until the 16th. We're recording this on the 3rd.
Well, now I have a feeling that it's going to be TSITP themed.
Well, if it wasn't, then I wouldn't know you, and you wouldn't be excited.
I enjoy things other than The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Child, please. Don't let her fool you guys.
As long as there's some form of, lollipop bouquet, I'm good.
There will be. I've been studying the construction of a blowpop bouquet.
Okay.
We'll see how I do.
Okay.
No substitutions allowed.
You don't have to actually make it a bouquet.
You don't settle for dum-dums.
I'm pretty sure that Conrad just like held them together and that's what made them a bouquet.
You know, I might have to rewatch the scene.
Okay.
Because they sell those Tootsie Pops in like bundles. Mm-hmm. It's not quite a bouquet, I guess. It's a bunch.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't
y'all
think
know.
they were Tootsie Pops, though. I think they
No,
were
they were
Blow
definitely
Pops.
Blow Pops for
Yeah, they're
sure.
Blow Pops.
All right,
Okay.
this is what I want to go down. Give us a quick rundown of what goes down in the prologue
Okay.
through chapter six.
And then we'll break it down afterwards, or break it
Break it
down as we
down.
go.
We'll see how which way the wind blows us.
All right. We asked you guys to start with the prologue. So the prologue is actually Belly, and there's very little context for what she's talking about, right? So she is talking about how she is in a relationship with Jeremiah.
Musicals.
She is talking about how she remembers watching musicals with Laurel, and she references Bye Bye Birdie. And in Bye Bye Birdie, if you haven't seen it, the main character's name is Conrad. He's the love interest. And Belly says that they would watch that movie together. And then I think she says something like when she was brushing her teeth, she always found herself singing. Because apparently they sing about Conrad in it, and she always found herself like singing. And she said, but I was never singing about Conrad Birdie. I was singing about my Conrad.
Whoa.
Whoa. So it's cute. Do you think that that is also Jenny's reason for naming Conrad Conrad?
Gotta be.
Because Conrad's not a popular name by any means.
It's not an unpopular name.
It's not an unpopular name, but I wonder if Jenny watched Bye Bye Birdie when she was growing up, and if she had a little thing for Conrad Birdie.
Well, we got Jenny on the line here. Jenny, what do you think? I'm just kidding.
If only. But essentially, it's interesting to start the book that way because it's again bringing back the idea of Belly has always had this crush or this fantasy of being with Conrad, but she's very evidently with Jeremiah. And she goes on to talk at the end about how she will end up with the last name Fisher. And then it ends with, I knew I would always be Belly Fisher one day. I just didn't know it was going to happen like this.
Whoa.
Which it's meant to be vague, right? Because at this point, we don't know if she ends up as Jeremiah Fisher's wifey or Conrad Fisher's wifey.
It's just keeping the triangle going, you know?
Of course. Of course. Okay. So then we head into chapter one. So chapter one, this part, the very first time I read it, I was surprised by the time jump. I really was. Not that I felt like I needed to know a lot about Belly finishing out high school or being a senior in high school, but the opening of the third book, she is finishing her first year in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where we meet her. We're introduced to a new friend and roommate, Annika, or Annika. Apparently, Taylor
Yes.
is at the same college as Belly, and they're both at the same college, Finch University, as Jeremiah.
Bench is fun.
Finch is fun. So the girls, obviously, including Belly, are studying for their finals. It's really cute. You get a little bit of interaction between Belly with her old friend from home, Taylor, and then like this new character. And it seems like this new character, Annika, I appreciate the new character because really that's what college is about, right? Like you have your friends from home and then you have your friends from college. And it's not always that those two worlds collide, but that's probably the first time that you're, bringing people in from different
Yeah,
environments in
no,
your
I
friend
mean,
group.
that always used to be a fun thing. I'd have my friends from school, Connor would have his friends from school, and all meet up, and it's like three different worlds colliding.
Right. Yeah. Fast forward to the following day after having stayed up all night studying, she took her exam. She's coming back to her dorm room, and Jeremiah is in her dorm room, and he, like, I guess, was taking a nap in her bed or whatever, and he's like holding Junior Mint. So we get a Junior Mint sighting. She has
Damn.
taken Junior Mint to college with her, but she's also clearly with Jeremiah.
And that's like the reveal.
That's the reveal. That's the reveal that they're still together. Were you surprised by that or no? Because we, I mean, we read or listened to the second book and then went into the third book.
No.
You weren't surprised.
No.
Okay.
I feel like that's, I'm ready for that.
Yeah.
They have this college relationship, so.
Well, no, but it started. So if it starts at the heels of book two, they're actually together for 2 years at this point. So they were dating his first year in college.
Yep. And now
her senior year in college, in high school. And then now they finished his sophomore year and her freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised by that. Not because I don't think that they should have been together for 2 years. I was just surprised at the time jump. And I was mostly thinking, okay, interesting. They've been together for this long. Like, where's Conrad and why start the prologue talking about him? Right? So, because you know that they got to bring it back to the triangle somehow, some way, right? So it was just a little shocking to me to kind of think of like, that her and Jeremiah were best friends their entire life growing up. And then have a 2-year relationship.
I would say it should shock you more that they bring up Conrad in the beginning.
Well,
it ends with Jeremiah.
Of course.
And then it starts with Jeremiah. So you'd expect that. But to bring it back to Conrad, that would be the.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that the prologue ends in a vague enough way where it's interesting. Like,
no, it has to. Yeah. That's like, it has to do that to bring it to the triangle. But that's why I'm not shocked at all that it starts with Jeremiah.
Right. So I do want your opinion on this part, right? Because a lot of people that wrote in and gave us notes had questions about this. And I want your gut reaction, because I know my gut reaction.
I feel like I'm being called on in class and I didn't do the homework.
Oh, boy. So we had started dating right before I began senior year of high school.
Okay.
Dating, in quotes, didn't feel like the right word for it. We were just together. It all happened so easily and so quickly. It felt like we had always been that way. 1 minute we were friends, then we were kissing. Then the next thing I knew, I was applying to the same college as him. I told myself and everyone else, including him, including my mother especially, that it was a good school, only a few hours from home, and it made sense to apply there, that I was keeping my options open. All of those things were true, but the truest of all was that I just wanted to be near him. In the show, we were waiting for that volleyball payoff, and I love that she can go to Finch and play volleyball, right? That she has a reason for going there, whether it's scholarship or sports, right? That is not totally tied to Jeremiah. In the book, she is a senior in high school and decides to go to the same school as her boyfriend. Thoughts?
I mean, at that age, you want comfort, or sometimes you think you want comfort, and then you get to college relationships sometimes don't work out.
Right.
But you think you want comfort, so she wants to be at the same school with her boyfriend. And from what we come to find out, she does well in it. That's her vibe. You know, she doesn't want to go test the waters.
What do you mean?
Like hooking up with other guys or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she's very loyal to Jeremiah.
She's in the vibe. Like, she would make it work as long as...
Yeah. Yeah, because some people are like, it kind of rubs them the wrong way, that they just don't think that show belly would go to a school just because a boy is there. My thought is there's not enough emphasis on the fact that Taylor's also there. If I'm in high school, and hindsight's 2020, if I remember being in high school, like one of the big decisions was, are we going to break up? Where am I going to go? Where are you going to go? Like, that is a real conversation that happens between people dating in high school. And I would say that if my boyfriend was already at a school that my best friend and I both applied to, and we both got in, and, you know, my best friend's going there, I would say, even though I like to think of myself as a woman who makes her own decisions and isn't led around by a guy, and I've always kind of thought of myself that way, I would still probably do that.
These sorts of decisions factored into all of my decisions back then.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess agree or disagree on whether or not you think Belly should have done that, or whether or not it was in character to do that. But I think that Jenny writing it was actually very, very true to the decisions that we make in high school.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's common. It's not uncommon. And it keeps the book going.
Yeah. Well,
keeps the story going.
I'll give you another question just because I thought of it.
Holler.
We know that Belly's insecure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, book Belly's insecure, show Belly's insecure. She shows her insecurity all kinds of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she may have ended up proving herself right, do you think that there's a part of her that went to the same college as Jeremiah because it's hard for her, because she's so insecure, to know that he's at college with other
girls. But I mean, that's a part of why we all do it.
Agreed. I'm just saying, right? Like, that's like, we can't ignore that given where.
Well, it's like high school and the life you're living there is sometimes really great, and you want, you don't know what college is yet. You have no idea. You don't know what that is. So you want to just, this is a good thing now. Let's just keep this going, the vibes, whatever.
Right.
But then you get to college and it's like a totally different ecosystem, and maybe you don't realize what you have gotten into.
Yeah. And high school versus college, like in the grand scheme of things, being a year apart is not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But being a year apart when you're in high school and your boyfriend or significant other is already in college, it is a big deal, because you don't know what that world is, and it's not in a bubble that's protected, right? It's just like completely different.
It takes up a lot of your mental time that turns out to be completely unwarranted.
Sure.
And a waste of time.
Yeah. Well, yes, but I do think that, like, whatever it is, insecurity, jealousy, like, all of that is just, like, human emotion. I think, of course,
and we're still developing at that age.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So she climbs into bed with him. He's already napping, obviously. She climbs into bed. She's tired too. They fall asleep together. Okay. So chapter 2 is where she starts talking about how Jeremiah is in a fraternity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the first time we hear about his fraternity. Apparently his fraternity is throwing a
end of year
bash. Exactly. She is talking about how she is walking across campus and she decided to wear heels.
Mm-hmm.
At which point she deeply regrets wearing heels because it's a longer walk than she expected. Any girl who's ever been in college, ever,
you can understand that.
You can totally understand that, right? Because all of a sudden in college, like, you're walking everywhere, number one, but number two, it is extremely important to look cute and wear heels despite how your feet feel. So she is walking across campus and Jeremiah shows up to surprise her. And it's actually a really cute Belly and Jeremiah scene because she wasn't expecting him to show up. He shows up to pick her up. She says, "You didn't have to meet me." And they have their own, like, little cute thing. And he gives her a piggyback ride the rest of the way. It's actually probably one of my favorite. You asked me this last time. What's my favorite, like, jelly moment? And as a book, too, I didn't have a ton. Like, the Twizzler thing was cute. But I'd like to see this on the old.
Your team piggyback.
On the old screen. I am team piggyback. So. It also just shows that they're in a real relationship.
Right.
Yeah, which is helpful.
Yeah. I mean, there's a good version of a college relationship.
Oh, for sure.
I've seen them, and they do. When you have two people who are, down for the cause,
mm-hmm.
you know what your needs are, know what your wants are.
Well, that's the thing, is college is such, there's such formative years for people,
mm-hmm.
and that can be in a good way. So you're learning about yourself as somebody else is learning about themselves, and you're coming together in a time that you're actively growing and maturing. But then the other side of it is you don't really know who you are, and there's some messiness that comes along with that. Then we have chapter 3. Chapter 3 is like, now they're actually at the party. Belly's describing the party in general, and the description is so good. Like, I can see the frat house. I can see the frat house with all the people and the half nakedness.
Oh my God.
And the keg. Jenny describes it as like their Christmas lights strung up everywhere.
In college, in my bedroom, I have Christmas lights in my bedroom.
Yeah. And there's a pool, apparently.
It makes me want to cringe now. But once upon a time,
and
I've been fun of it.
And we get the Lacey Barone introduction.
She.
So Jeremiah is just.
You know what's funny?
What?
Out in the world right now.
Yes.
With all the pretties.
Yes.
Everyone is picturing Lacey Barone. Mm-hmm. So there are literally a million different Lacey Barones right now.
That's true.
In the minds of the pretty fans.
Yeah.
I know it.
Do you think we're going to get a casting for a Lacey Barone? Probably.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to blow the doors off it with like a huge name or anything, but I kind of have an idea what she's gonna look like.
Yeah. The narration is so good. Lola does an excellent job.
Lola does a great job with the audiobook, flat out.
Yeah, just in general. But we talked about it. When Lola is narrating and she has to read dialogue, anytime it's somebody else's voice that's not Belly, you can almost hear her mimic how the actors do it.
She's an actor.
But there's a funny line at the beginning of chapter 3 where we're talking about Jeremiah's frat, and we're talking about how his fraternity, as many do, they have a sister.
Zeta Phi.
Is it Zeta Phi? It is Zeta Phi. And then you have the quintessential Taylor saying, oh yeah, those are the slutty girls. My sorority. Because of course Taylor's in a sorority, right? But she says, no, my sorority is more into service and whatnot. So,
I mean, to be fair to Taylor, that's kind of how the Debs play off their Deb.
Oh, of course.
Debbing. Like, oh, we do a lot of stuff for charity.
Those exact same conversations are real live conversations that happen when people are rushing fraternities and sororities. So that was brilliant.
I have no experience, but.
But anyhow, Lacey is the socials chair of this sister sorority to Jeremiah's fraternity. And they describe her as skinny jeans and like a slinky top and bright red patent leather heels, and she walks up. She clearly knows Jeremiah. And even Belly says that Taylor told Belly at one point, oh, I think Lacey has a thing for Jeremiah. And Belly says, maybe that might be true because girls like Jeremiah. Like, she says it. She's like, Jeremiah is the kind of guy that girls like. But she doesn't think anything.
Remind me of that thought. I got a thought to talk about later.
Okay.
Remind me of this moment.
Okay. So Lacey comes up to them. Jeremiah introduces Lacey to Belly.
Right.
They have an interaction. When Lacey walks off, Belly says something along the lines of like, oh, she's nice. And Jeremiah just says, yeah. The thing that makes that chapter hard at the end of this chapter is that then Jeremiah goes off and offers to like get her a drink or something and bring it back to her. As he's walking off, the Belly narration is, he's my Jeremiah, right? Like, I was proud to call him mine, and we're really together. And then she goes through, I highlighted it actually, so she says, he's my boyfriend, the first boy I had ever fallen asleep next to, the first boy I ever told about the time I accidentally walked in on my parents doing it when I was 8. The first boy to go out and buy me Midol because my cramps were so bad. The first boy to paint my toenails, hold my hair back when I threw up because I got really drunk in front of his friends.
They have life experiences.
First boy to write me a love note on my whiteboard outside my dorm room.
Aw.
He was the first boy I ever kissed. He was my best friend. He was the one. He was my one.
Jesus.
Yeah. That part, being a Conrad girly, was hard. When the very first time I read the book, I was like, damn, they've been together for a while. They have this whole life together now. We're in chapter 2 and I haven't even heard of Conrad yet. I don't know where he is, what he's doing. I'm like, damn, Belly's like in love with Jeremiah. Like, it's for real.
Good for them.
Totally believable.
Like, sometimes you gotta separate the fact that they're brothers, but I just try and look at them as two separate people. And you can have those feelings for two separate people at two different times in your life.
Yeah. What's interesting, however, is in the other books, when she talks about Conrad, she says, the first boy I ever loved, the boy who taught me how to dance, the boy who did this, the boy who did that, right? So, like, clearly there's a line in the sand now being drawn between past and present.
Right.
Yeah.
I think she might categorize her love for Conrad as something different.
Sure. Sure. But we've talked about it before that Belly's an unreliable narrator.
That is true.
So I totally believe that this is her current state, Belly, This is what she is thinking. He's my Jeremiah. I love him. He loves me. He would never hurt me. I'm perfect right now. This is great. College is lovely. It's totally right for how she feels in this moment, but she is a little bit of an unreliable narrator because she's not always self-aware.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Or she just gets swept up.
Or she just gets swept up. Totally fine. But yeah, her and Jer are a thing. And then we get chapter 4.
Dang. A little beer spillage.
Would you like to tee up the beer spillage and what that leads to?
I don't know. All I remember is was there a guy?
Redbird.
Tidy Whitey's. Yeah. I'm like, how did they get the nickname Redbird?
Nobody knows. That's a funny like joke, I guess. But his name's Tom. His real name's Tom. Goes by Redbird for reasons unbeknownst to me.
Says everything twice.
Yeah, when he gets really drunk, he says everything twice.
What an annoying guy, I bet.
He's like Jeremiah's very good friend.
Yeah.
Which come back later when she's talking about like fraternities and fraternity bros and stuff.
Around
like that.
1 a.m., he's probably a tough hang.
Or right now.
Or at 3 right, p.m.
When he's taking his clothes off, he's running around spilling beers on Belly. So, yeah, Belly gets some beer spilled on her.
Mm-hmm.
She says it's cool. She then goes to try to find a bathroom to, you know, dry her skirt or what have you. So she tries the kitchen. Kitchen's occupied because there's some girl throwing up in the kitchen sink.
Doing body shots off the kitchen table.
Yep, somebody's doing body shots. And
what else is going on in this kitchen right now? The garbage has got to be overflowing, right?
Yes.
The garbage is overflowing. There are a minimum of 30 to 40 solo cups on the counter.
Yep. Definitely a lot of...
Gigantic bottles of liquor that are like...
Half beers.
Gigantic bottles of liquor strewn about the place. Maybe a dead plant in there somewhere. One side of the sink full of dishes.
Yep.
Completely full of dishes. Nothing in the fridge, but like ketchup, mustard, and maybe like the beer.
Leftovers.
Wood floor, cleared out everything except for a beer pong table.
Okay, so she goes to the upstairs bathroom.
Yep.
She's in there by herself. She locks the door behind her. And then she can hear girls talking on the other side of the door. They must be waiting to use the bathroom. But she says that she hears Lacey's voice. Lacey says, "He looks so hot tonight." Another voice says, "He always looks hot." And then other girl says, "I'm so jealous you got to hook up with him." Then in a sing-song voice, Lacey says, "Whatever happens in Cabo stays in Cabo." We do not know who Lacey is talking about at this point. Belly goes on in her narration to say, "I start to feel dizzy all of a sudden. There was no way that she was talking about Jeremiah. No way.
I'm starting to feel dizzy for her."
Yeah. So then here's what ends up happening. She thinks it's Jeremiah, but she's rational enough to know that she doesn't know for sure.
And then she walks out and then get the mouth, hand over the mouth type thing.
Yeah.
That gives it away.
Yeah. That gives it away.
Loose lips sink ships. what's her name? Lacey's friend.
Yeah. But Lola's narration of that part in particular, I think it's because you hear how she feels about it. You hear that, like, they're giggling and laughing about it. It's like one of those points in a party where, like, it's just kind of like the party's gone too far. It's gotten out of hand. You know you should have left, like, 2 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because you stayed, like, the night is starting to get ruined. And that happens a lot. But
that's ruined.
Night is now ruined. So then Belly goes to Jeremiah's room, closes the door, and she's just kind of sitting there, like, replaying and trying to think through what must have happened, because she knows that he went to Cabo. And then she makes the decision to confront him about it. So she goes downstairs. Fair. She goes downstairs, finds him, tells him that she needs to talk. He doesn't really know what it's about. I like that Jeremiah is taking it seriously, because he's not just blowing her off. He's like, okay, clearly something's bothering you. Like, let's go upstairs and talk. So they go upstairs, and he's pretty aloof. He has no idea what she's about to bring up. And she asks if you hooked up with Lacey.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even have to say anything. And she just spins out into her, like, oh my God, oh my God, I knew it, all of that. She describes herself like falling to the floor, tells him not to touch her. And then he explains that it was when they were apparently on a break. We were on a break. I feel for Belly at this point because regardless of what the technicalities are, her immediate response is, yeah, for like 2 seconds we were on a break. Right? In the grand scheme of things, we'll discuss whether the break is significant or whether it was cheating. I don't think any of that matters at this point to Belly, right? It's just kind of like, you found out something, right? Like, you just found out something. You found out about it when girls were giggling about it. Earlier tonight, Jeremiah introduces her to you.
Yeah, there's level of, like, embarrassment, and there's multiple levels.
Yeah, there's shame. Yeah, there's shame. There's embarrassment. There's her, because we heard how she's talking about Jeremiah at the end of the last chapter.
Yeah. And then
and she's like in this like blissful, happy, no one can touch me state, and it's just like shattered now.
And then some insecurity in there.
Right.
For Lacey.
And then it honestly gets worse. Like, she's already upset. And then Jeremiah starts crying too. And I remember when I read this book the first time, I was kind of like, my initial reaction was like, damn, he must really love her if he's now crying because she's upset. But no, he's crying because he's about to tell her that there's more. And he says, now that that's out of the bag, like, I want to be completely honest with you. Like, we didn't just hook up, like, we had sex. And she smacks him. Then there's a whole back and forth of, it didn't mean anything. Belly says,
which is true. Probably.
It's probably true for Jeremiah, but no, it's a lousy excuse for Belly because regardless of how...
no good excuse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, regardless however Jeremiah feels about sex, he knows that to Belly, sex is a big deal. So the idea of...
I mean, everyone can put themselves in that position, and it's not a great feeling. It's like you thought this person was your person, but then... it was someone else's person too.
Mm-hmm. Sucks.
Yep.
Big sucks. So Belly leaves. She tells him not to follow her. She walks home. So all of that happens. That's the end of chapter 4. And then we go to chapter 5. Chapter 5 is actually now a flashback. So it's giving some backstory.
Oh, to the break.
To the break and to Belly and Jeremiah's relationship. Some of the ups and downs, I guess, of their relationship. And Belly starts off by saying that when we took a break, it was in April of that year. It was, what, their first time having a real big fight? One of those screaming and crying fights.
Yep.
Apparently, they'd had some incidents before that. But it's mostly Belly talking about how inside of the relationship, she had some misgivings about how selfish she thought he was in the relationship. Now, gotten a lot of fan notes on this.
Okay.
Right? I think that they're both equally selfish, right?
15, 17, 18, 19.
Exactly. I think the issue here is that they don't actually talk. They just... like, he thinks one thing and he's not taking into account her feelings. She has feelings of her own and she's not taking his into account. And they just don't talk about it, apparently.
It's very comfortable, I'm sure.
It's very comfortable, yeah. And then also, given how much they've had to do to work up to this moment, and this is going to be, I think, the theme of this entire book, is... based on all the relationship turmoil and all the Conrad stuff and all that nonsense, for them to choose each other, I think they're both set out to prove something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That they can't just, like, bitch and complain about small things to each other. And they can't just not be together because then it proves everyone else right and them wrong. But there's a couple of different things in there. Like, Belly's talking about She never knew about his spring allergies or whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny that he's like, he's super like a baby about it. She complains that she doesn't like Indian food. He likes Indian food. He never takes that into account. He doesn't pick up on her signals that she's like not happy with it. She like makes up excuses to not hang out with him sometimes and his friends. I understand this a ton. She says that she feels like she missed out on the newness of being able to make her own friend group.
Because he has existing.
Because he already had existing friends. And that is actually very realistic.
Sure.
Right? That somebody else is already established. So when you get to college, there is supposed to be this fear almost that you have to get to meet your own people and get to form your own little bubble. It's so easy to be dragged into somebody else's because you have a familiar person who's showing you to people.
Now, she also went to college with her best friend and boyfriend. So, yeah, what I'm saying, if she's looking for something completely unfamiliar.
Right, yeah.
She made this choice.
Yeah. But she wanted to invite him to hang out with some of her friends, and he came up with an excuse like soccer. Intramural soccer. Mm-hmm. And she called him out for that. And that was like a small fight. It wasn't a big deal. She's reflecting on all of these things now to basically say that their first major fight was over this Cabo thing.
Yeah, which is very realistic.
Well, when you were listening to it, you actually said, you're like, this is the best fight ever. As in, it was very, it's a real fight that mm-hmm. a couple would have.
Yeah.
Low blow or not a low blow?
Why don't we go through it?
What?
Fight.
And go through
isn't
the fight?
Like a couple paragraphs on them?
Yeah. Let's see.
Give us the Cliff Notes version.
Cliff Notes version is, at the last minute, Jeremiah and his fraternity brothers decided to go to Cabo over spring break. They'd found some insane deal on the internet. Belly was planning on going home, hang out with Steven, hang out with her mom, and she said she watched Jeremiah book his trip, and she decided to bring it up. She didn't want to bring it up, but she just kind of brought it up. Like, do you really think you should be going to Cabo?
Okay.
Okay.
Probably not.
He probably shouldn't be going to Cabo, but she...
Well, you shouldn't be springing it on her last second.
I think that she kind of knew that he was going to Cabo, but they hadn't really talked about it. And then she's like sitting there watching him book it. And in that moment, she's like, oh, so you're really going.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know the situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, he's got something in his mind.
Yep.
And he's not going to bend to accommodate Belly in this situation.
Sure. Now, you had brought up something like a good point. Which is that, is he still getting over Susanna? And maybe it's hard for him to
go back home, see his dad, go to see his mom's grave for the first time, whatever.
Yeah. And Conrad isn't at home.
Yeah, no.
He's in California.
I completely understand where is coming from.
Yeah.
But this is one of the reasons why college relationships are tough.
Yeah.
Because when you have your 10 friends that want to go to Cabo, you obviously want to go too.
Right.
But you don't want to lose your girlfriend over it.
There's Belly to consider, but I don't think there's anything waiting for him in Boston. Like, why would he be excited to go to Boston? Like, it may not be the right thing to go to Cabo, but given the choice, like...
Well, Belly just wants him to probably go back with her
mm-hmm.
for break.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help Jeremiah's case because I think what sends Belly into continuing to press on this Cabo thing is that he's not really taking the conversation seriously. So she keeps talking about, should you really be going to Cabo, 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 Cabo? He doesn't take it seriously. He just looks at her and laughs and is like, are you just afraid of all the wet t-shirt contests?
Well, then the Zetas are gone.
Well, exactly. But he's making light of it. He's making a joke of her feelings. Like, oh, are you just jealous? Forcing her into a corner where she's like, I could care less. And even if she is jealous, because she's mm-hmm. not truthful, she probably is a little bit jealous. But even if it wasn't about that, he actually says the words to her, well, if you're so afraid of me being in Cabo, why don't you come?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, I don't want to be in Cabo with you and a bunch of your frat bros. He's like, Allison's coming. She's like, wait, Allison got an invite? And then he's like, oh, well, she's just in the sorority that's also coming. Like,
that's how he found out about the good deal.
Damn, Jeremiah.
Yeah, no, it's not a good look.
Not a good look, right? Like, there's
great look for a single guy. Like, fun time if you're a single guy. But in this situation, it's tough.
Yeah, right.
You gotta, that's one of the things. That's like one of the, if you're having a pros and cons list of having a girlfriend in college, that's one of the cons. Like,
right.
You vacation together, that's an option.
Yep.
You get shit from your guy friends.
Yep.
Or...
yeah, but then he makes the one mistake that I don't think you should make. You just got to choose your words better, because there are certain words that you use just in general mm-hmm. with people that you're in a relationship with that are never going to play well. So he calls her paranoid.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Don't call crazy people crazy. Don't call paranoid people paranoid.
Don't call anyone paranoid, right?
Sure.
It's gaslighting.
I think you used that correctly there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Gaslighting is used like incorrectly. Just like... all the time nowadays. But yeah, so he gaslights her. She then goes in for the only thing she can think of that would hurt him in this moment, is to talk about how stupid his life is, how stupid being in a fraternity is. It's dumb.
Yeah.
So this is where Belly says earlier, she's like, a fight is like a fire. You think you have it under control until it keeps building yeah. and building. You throw gasoline on
this one needed to get,
and it gets out of control.
This one needed to get put on ice till tomorrow, because this is where it starts going into doing shit you don't mean,
right?
Just because you want to one up the person in front of you.
Exactly. So he then we're escalating this fight now.
Yeah, where Jeremiah probably didn't want, like, wouldn't mind Belly to go, but he has to one-up it and be like, well, maybe I just want to go with the guys.
Right. So here's the interesting part, okay, is then he eggs her on, as in, like, no, say what's really on your mind. What's so stupid about my fraternity? And she says, it's a bunch of entitled rich guys spending their parents' money, cheating on tests with your test bank, and going to class wasted. At this point, he looks hurt, and he says,
We're not all like that.
Okay. And then
she says,
no. Before, this is a very important point, because yes, what Belly says next is a low blow. But she wasn't the one who brought it up. He brought it up, I think, because of his own insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
It was shitty of her to call it out, but he is actually the one who brings up Conrad, not her. He's throwing it back in her face. Oh, you just want me to be like Conrad.
Not in so many words.
He says, what? Just because I'm not pre-med, that makes me this lazy frat guy.
Well.
Her retort to that is...
not to say there's a medical program at Finch.
No way.
I think you're jumping to conclusions. I'm just kidding.
No way, right? But... what I like about it is that it plays so well with what we've already seen anyway in the show.
Right.
Where Jeremiah's grown up, Conrad was the better this, Conrad was the better that, but now I'm growing up and I don't look up to him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all that happened in season 2, and this plays perfectly into that. And it's, if he was looking to start a fight with Belly, like, yeah. You're like, okay, I'm stupid. I guess you just want me to be more like my brother who you're in love with or have been in love with. And Belly says, which I think was low, and I mean, it is what it is. It's a fight. She says, don't put your inferiority complex on me. She says, I said it without thinking. It was something I had thought before but never voiced. I think that is key. So it's like, she's thought this. She just found an opportunity to use it against him in a fight.
Okay,
Which
but
is a little bit problematic that she like
no,
is still
no,
comparing
no,
Conrad
no,
to
no.
Jeremiah.
Bro, let me just hypothetical you here.
Okay.
If she was in a fight with Conrad right now and it was escalating, 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 and she had already dated Jer,
yeah,
she'd be, with what we know from Belly, she'd be throwing in some shit like that.
Oh, for sure.
Like, Jer is funner. Jer wouldn't have forgot my corsage. Jer would,
sure,
is the life,
okay,
of the party. Jer, I can bring Jer around, and he's a,
right,
you know, likes to meet people and shit.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So I think that she would, she's got, when you date two brothers, you've got a trump card always up your sleeve. Like, your brother's better.
Or best friend, anything.
All of that shit,
anything,
yeah.
Anything where it's been out in the open that you used to date or like or love someone,
right,
else.
Right. And it's always, that's like pulling the card, dealing from the bottom of the deck, you know?
Right. Right, right. So here's the interesting part is Belly, because it's her narration, she knows that it got out of hand. She wants to take it back. But before she can correct it, Jeremiah is the one who says, fuck it, I won't waste your time anymore. Let's end it now.
Well, that's like it's the inferiority complex again.
Right. Even though she calls out the inferiority complex, he is like, what inferiority complex? And then he's just like, fuck it. Like, if you think I'm wasteful and you think I'm lazy and you think all of this crazy shit about me, then
or
I'm not going to waste
your
Conrad
time. Is,
well, better. Right.
Better.
Like, the unspoken, whatever it is. And he says, let's end it now. The problematic thing for me is actually not the stuff that was said. The stuff that was said, people get into fights, and when you get into a fight, you throw gasoline on the fire and you try to say the most hurtful things possible. And you can still come back from that. It is hard for me. It is very, very hard for me to see that this can ever be a solid foundation for a relationship when your first big fight ever, ever, gloves come off to that degree, and one person bails on the relationship, only to find out that during this 1 week stint of being broken up, after your first fight ever with somebody that you've known for 18 years, that you would break up with them at the first sign of trouble and then hook up with somebody else. Just saying.
Well, you
not good signs. Like, very red flaggy for the jelly relationship.
There's some issues there. You're right. Like, not great. But if there was no other dog, maybe they mature together.
Yeah, you're like, oh, maybe these crazy kids can work through this.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true. Since you're the one who brought it up, I will say I was really upset. Even though I am more Team Conrad than Team Jeremiah, I was upset reading about the fight, the breakup, the whatever you want to call it, him hooking up with Lacey, Belly being upset over it. I was upset at all of that,
mm-hmm,
because the entire time I went into book three, I was thinking, oh my God, who is she going to end up with? And I want it to be Conrad, but now I'm fucking 5 or 6 chapters deep. I haven't even seen Conrad. And I was just upset that they used this as a plot device to bring Conrad back in. Because I always like to believe that Conrad and Belly just had a deeper relationship. And it wasn't just like, oh, a guy fucked up, now you're back in. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and it ends up becoming more than that, right? It becomes more than just that. But when I first read this and I thought that was a catalyst, I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
wins by a technicality.
Wins by a technicality. I didn't believe that Conrad should win by a technicality.
I think it was,
you know, like, you know what I mean, like that, you know, this can't work, so Belly has no choice but to go back to Conrad. Like, I didn't like that.
Sure.
That's not where it goes, so spoiler alert, if you haven't read the book and you're reading along with us for the very first time, there's more depth than that. But when I read that, I was like, oh God, is that how we enter back into Team Conrad? I don't know if I like that. Because I didn't want to dislike Jeremiah. And I actually didn't dislike Jeremiah even when I read it. I was just like, oh, they're young and stupid. And unfortunately, it does play into what we know of Jeremiah's character. Very flirty. A lot of girls are going to throw themselves at him. Stuff happens. Chapter 6. Last chapter, guys, is a very, very quick chapter. It is Belly talking about how she can't close her eyes without thinking about the two of them together. And now she's actually voicing her own insecurities. This is where she's like,
yeah,
Lacey's older. She's more mature.
This is, yeah. This chapter doesn't count if we're going by TV standards.
Right.
Because it's like she had been saving herself at this point.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, chapter 6 is in the book. Book Belly is still a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Book Belly is saying that she, even though they've been together for a while, she never had sex with Jeremiah. She hasn't
knows
had
all
sex
these
with
moves
anyone.
That I never thought of.
Exactly. She does, however, say, which is interesting, and I highlighted it. She says, when I was younger, I used to picture my first time with Conrad. It wasn't that I was still waiting for him. I was just waiting for the perfect moment. And then she goes on to say that she pictured her first time with Jeremiah. But, you know, like the same way that people kind of like dream up what they want their firsts to be, especially a young girl. She was talking about at the beach house, lights off, candles everywhere with Jeremiah. Ironically, Jenny had Belly lose her virginity to Conrad, but in the same exact way as it's described in the book when she was imagining it with Jeremiah.
I mean, Belly's no mystery. I'm sure that it was going to be at the
beach house
regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that she would, at some point, if it was with Jeremiah, tell him, right? Like, that she was ready, or that, I don't know, that's how she imagined it. But the chapter ends kind of weird, and
let me pull out my copy.
I know, yeah, go ahead. Because a lot of people who have written in, and thank you again, guys, for writing in, but it ends with, a month ago, around the anniversary of his mom's death, we were laying in Jeremiah's twin bed. He rolled over and looked at me. His eyes were so like Susanna's. I reached out my hand and covered them. Sometimes it hurts to look at you. Close your eyes. And then basically, they just lay in bed together. They wrap their legs around each other. She says, do you think it'll always be like this? He says, how else would it be? They fell asleep that way. Like kids. Totally innocent.
I love that.
That's a month ago. So it ends with, we could never go back to that. How could we? It was all tainted now. Everything from March to now, it was tainted.
So is this pre-breakup, post-breakup?
I think this is pre-breakup.
So this is...
But this is only a month before breakup. If this is March...
But okay, why is March to breakup tainted then? Because I'm assuming that Belly's saying everything's tainted because that's when he went on spring break and they would have been broke up on spring break.
They broke up in April, and spring break was in April. Remember, all that shit happened within the span of a week.
I know that. I'm just like wondering why she's calling the month from March to April tainted.
Maybe that's when he had allergies and was making
all
right.
In everybody, write in. Let us know what the. I think it could be a faux pas, right? Because everything from March was tainted. Everything from March to now is tainted. So you'd assume that she's referring to when him and Lacey hooked up is tainted because, oh, you know, that was seemingly, he's dirty now, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway.
Say.
I like this chapter, you know, you understand the innocence she's speaking of. It's perfect for her. That's like everything she's looking for.
Yeah. That's prologue and chapters 1-6.
Okay.
All right. So one of our listeners wrote in. Shout out to Elle. who sent in beautiful notes, but actually inside of her breakdown said, here's my what the fuck moment and here's my fun moment. So, Han, I'm going to ask you, inside of this section, what was your what the fuck moment?
Redbird.
Okay.
Or, as of 5 minutes ago, the March mystery. The March to now tainted mystery.
Yeah. Like, why is it tainted?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. My what the fuck moment was definitely the entire Cabo thing. Like, not even the sleeping with Lacey thing. It's just like, it seems like such a short time horizon for everything to just get completely fucked up and for everyone to sweep it under the rug. It's like very strange to me. So that's my what the fuck moment. Just these two lacking communication that could have avoided a lot of everything that happened there. And then fun moment. What's your fun moment? Don't say Redbird again.
I think just them living the college life sounds pretty fun if in the good times at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say I liked when
the best version of their college relationship seems pretty good.
Yeah. There are two for me. I like the idea of Belly staying up all night with her friends studying for a psychology exam. Like, that's very collegey.
Sure.
And I like
Adderall, maybe.
Yeah. I like the thought of Belly going to a frat party to end the year and she's all dressed up in heels, even though she hates heels, and yeah, she's walking across campus and Jeremiah.
We got a little bit of that in season two when they went to go to the after graduation party. The graduation party.
In season two?
Yeah, with Milo.
Oh, that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we have to see her do the... I mean...
Oh, yeah, like, let's get super hot.
Yeah. I'd like to see what the college party looks like on TV, though.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be fun. All right. We're going to call this segment Critical Thinking Questions.
Okay.
Okay. Kind of like in school when you're actually reading books and then you have to write about them or there are questions about them. So... these are thought-provoking questions that I was thinking of some of them, but then across like the 10 or so submissions that we got, there were like certain themes that kept coming up. So the first is the We Were on a Break.
Yeah, we talked about this a little, but...
just amongst ourselves.
It's a trope as old as time. You know, it's designed to get people to join each side.
Well, it's very adjacent to Ross and Rachel. Right, so I posted this on our Instagram.
That's the first thing I thought of. And
yeah. Because they're both very similar situations.
Yes. And by that scale, Jeremiah is 7 to 10 times more innocent than Ross. Because Ross's was one night, I think, right? A couple days, a night.
What do you mean?
In between his indiscretion and his reunion with his lady.
Yes.
Okay. So, Jeremiah, we're only guessing here, but
it's a week.
Yeah. So, 7 times more innocent than Ross.
Wait, why?
Because it's 7 days. Okay. So, he had 7 days in between just hookup and reunion.
You're saying the amount of time that they were on a break?
Right. I mean, except the break was that much longer.
Okay.
It doesn't, if we're on a break is your argument.
Mm-hmm.
I think that length of break matters, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is acceptable to break up? If they were on a break for 3 weeks, I would say that's a breakup.
Sure.
So I think break kind of cuts off at about a week.
Yeah. Fine. Right. But isn't that missing the point?
That's the only argument he has. Like, that's the only thing you can say.
Right, right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what's similar between this situation and the Ross and Rachel situation. Is, like, the only real leg to stand on is, yeah, I went and hooked up with somebody else because I thought we were broken up.
Right.
Right?
I didn't know it was a break. I thought we were done.
the point of the matter is it's supposed to be a blurred line, right? Like
right,
Jenny wrote it that way on purpose so that we would sit here and debate, did he cheat? Did he not cheat? I don't think that definition-wise, he cheated.
Right.
And I don't think that in his mind, he set out to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That said, Belly doesn't say it, at least not in the chapters we've read so far, but Rachel does say it, which is exactly how I feel about the situation. Even if it's not cheating, the way that I feel about it, the way that Belly should feel about it is what Rachel said, which is...
You had fun at the wake.
No, well, there's... Okay, so then there's two things, right? So he said, for all I knew, it was dead, it was over. And Rachel says, well, you sure had a hell of a time at the wake. Which is fair, right? Because what she's calling out is, fine, it was over. Literally, you jumped into bed with somebody else.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole different, that's a horse of a different color. The other thing is when he keeps saying they were on a break, Rachel says, you expect to get off the hook
on a
technicality? And it's the same thing. It's in Book Belly's eyes, if they were together for that long and sex is a big deal for her and she's planning on losing her virginity to him, she's just not ready yet. Like, how big of a fuck you is it to break up with her, go on vacation anyway, which is the whole reason you got into the fight in the first place,
mm-hmm.
tell her that she was paranoid for being jealous of other girls, and then immediately, because you broke up with her, have sex with someone, which is what she was worried about in the first place?
Listen, you're not wrong. Like,
It's absurd for Belly to hear this because she's like, wait, what happened?
Right. It reminds me of this guy owes someone money. And it's just a fine line between blackmail and collecting the debt that is owed to him.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's not blackmail, but it's a really deplorable way to collect debt.
Right.
So it's like, it might not be cheating, but it's a shitty way to handle yourself and
right
the rubble of your relationship.
Yep.
Now,
and then the other layer is also the betrayal that Belly feels, because he just came back from Cabo, gave her like a shell bracelet or necklace or something, was like, hey, we should get back together. Does not mention anything about Cabo. Does not mention that he had sex with someone.
Okay, but this is where it gets really messy. Because if you want him to disclose that,
yeah,
then Belly needs to disclose whatever happened with Conrad before she gets back with Jeremiah. Because right now he's floating around, doesn't know that they had sex.
You're saying in the show.
In the show, but the same character?
I think she will. I think Belly is going to tell Jeremiah that she had sex with Conrad.
But they're already back together.
I don't think that you need to tell somebody that you had sex with other people before you're with
right.
them.
Neither do I. But
when you break up with somebody that you've been dating for 2 years for 1 week on a break.
I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit here. So let's play that perfect scenario, though. Perfect scenario.
Yeah.
How does Jeremiah handle this situation? Post sleeping with Lacey Barone.
I think he has to go to Belly and say, hey, I really miss you. It was stupid for us to break up. I want to get back together with you.
But.
Well, before you make your decision, you should know.
Here's some information. Do you think Belly...
I think it comes off better in that moment if he says, I was really hurting over us being broken up. I wasn't thinking. I got really drunk and I made a mistake.
Does Belly buy that?
I think Belly is hurt, but it saves her the embarrassment. It saves her the thinking that she was a fool. It saves her thinking, oh, he knew that we were meant to be together too. So when I was suffering for that 1 week, so was he. It's totally a messy situation.
The ultra messiest of messy.
Yeah. It's, but what's, even though it's messy, it's not unbelievable. Like, it's a very believable.
It's like as believable as it gets.
It's a very believable situation. It's just, I feel really bad for Belly. And I feel bad for Jer, but only because I know he really loves Belly. Like, I really do, like, in the beginning of this book and throughout, like, I can see that they have a real relationship and that he deeply loves her, but there's red flags everywhere. He fucked up. I was pretty sure Steven was right. Jeremiah just needed some space. Okay, that was fine. When he got back, I would go to him and tell him how sorry I was, and I would fix things, and it would be like it never happened.
Ugh.
And Steven was right.
Jeez.
Steven was right. We did get back together a week later. I did go to him, and I apologized, and he apologized too. I never asked him if anything happened in Cabo. It wouldn't have even occurred to me to wonder. This was a boy who loved me my whole life.
She's lying.
And I was a girl who believed in that love, in that boy.
I wish that he didn't do anything on spring break.
Jared brought me back a shell bracelet. Little white puka shells. It made me so happy because I knew that he had been thinking of me, that he missed me as much as I missed him. He knew, like I knew, it wasn't really over between us. It would never be over.
This situation sucks.
And then it ends. This chapter ends with, but now I knew the truth. He bought me that stupid, cheap bracelet because he felt guilty. And I was so desperate to make up, I hadn't seen it.
Oh my God. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah. And then that's what's heartbreaking about the end of that, because so far what's happened is end of chapter 4, she found out at a party behind her back that he did something with somebody else. She leaves the party. She's crying. She won't answer his texts. Then we get a flashback to their breakup where she said something she didn't mean. She's hoping that he didn't mean that they're broken up. She's obsessing over it for the entire week. She's preparing for him to get back so that she can apologize. She goes and apologizes. He apologizes too. They get back together. And then you hear her. Now, with the new information, he gave me that cheap little bracelet. Then,
not a good look for Jer.
Yeah. Then it goes into chapter 6 where she's talking about how innocent they were, how she thought it was perfect, how she thought that he'd wait for her, how that would be okay, and how she was virgin. Poor Belly Pants.
Yeah, you can't not feel bad for her.
And it's her, like, he's like her first real boyfriend. Like, right? real boyfriend.
Right? So, and I'm sure he feels bad. But
yeah. Yeah, he feels.
I just wonder if he was open, if it would have changed anything. I don't know if Belly could have overcome that.
I don't think. Part of me feels like Belly wouldn't have overcome it. But no spoilers, Belly overcomes a lot, apparently.
Oh, right.
Apparently Belly is quite ready to just sweep everything under the rug.
It's true.
So, all right. Real quick on this, thoughts on the Belly and Jeremiah relationship, other than the red flaggy stuff and triggering. A lot of people wrote in and said that they don't know if it's because we've already seen play out live action Belly and Conrad's relationship and how deep it is and how serious it is, and the fact that they actually had sex. Like, we've already seen that from Belly and Conrad to one degree. On the other hand, now that we're going back and seeing the Jeremiah and Belly relationship, a lot of people described it as more childish.
Right,
that
she's more innocent in the book.
Yeah. All right, here's a thought.
Bring it on.
So I'm going to ask this question because it was posed a lot. In, I think it's at the end of chapter 1. Belly comes back from her exam. Jeremiah is asleep in her dorm room, and he's holding Junior Mint. So Belly's taking Junior Mint to college with her.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that was posed is, do you think that Jeremiah knows the significance of Junior Mint in the Belly and Conrad story? And if so, is it like just ha, like funny ha, or is it supposed to be ironic that he's holding Junior Mint?
I could say it's irrelevant a little bit.
Irrelevant to Jeremiah or irrelevant in general? Like, you don't think that Jenny purposefully had Jeremiah?
Yeah, that. Because okay. I think this is something that is a huge deal to the fan base. And yeah. It's always used as a plot device to show
Junior Mint himself.
Yeah, like okay. Junior Mint, when the characters aren't together, it's a plot device to show that there's still affection. Like, Conrad's alone. Belly's not there, but he can go
boop
Junior Mint.
Yeah.
And that shows affection towards Belly.
Right. Or that at the season finale, that Belly's off with Jeremiah now, but Conrad's unpacking her room at Cousins, and he takes Junior Mint out and puts it on her dresser.
Yeah, or the fact that, you know,
Belly looks at Junior Mint and has a flashback to,
right, these kinds of things. It's very important to the story arc, very important to the
fans. Okay.
Now, I think Jeremiah certainly knows where the doll came from.
Okay.
Because they're brothers and best friends with Belly.
Right.
The conversation's come up before.
Of course.
What we're led to believe is that it's a really strong symbol between Conrad and Belly. Mm-hmm. He might not know how strong that symbol is.
Yeah. Or he may know that, yeah, Conrad got it for Belly, but as much as we talk about Jeremiah being insecure or inferiority complex or whatever the hell you want to say it is, I think he's secure enough in himself that he can hold the damn bear and not be thinking, oh my God, my brother got this for her. Like, I think,
right.
Yeah, okay. So Coco is another one of those things. So
Coco is a little bit different, and hear me out. Coco is different because Jeremiah has no idea about that.
Right.
Okay, he was certainly, he was fucking holding Junior Mint and shaking him around in one of the episodes.
Yeah, that was the very first episode of season 1.
So he is very much aware of Junior Mint.
Yeah.
He don't know shit about Coco. He don't know when you're drinking Coco what goes down. You know?
Okay, yeah.
So
I guess that just kind of reminded me of, and it was done so perfectly in the book and in the show, when Conrad says something to Belly like, oh, I thought Coco was your specialty. And it's one of those things that, to your point, it means something to Jenny who wrote it. It means something to the audience because we know something that Jeremiah doesn't know. But by having the dialogue between Belly and Conrad be that, it's also Conrad's very aware of what he's doing mentioning Coco, and she is very aware of what he's referring to when he mentions Coco. So
yeah,
that's a little bit different.
I think Infinity Necklace is probably the strongest because I don't think Jeremiah knows about that, and it's more prevalent than the rest of them.
I was going to say, right? So at this point, Junior Mint, fine, right? Like, yeah, during their childhood, it's probably come up that Conrad won this for Belly.
Mm-hmm.
Infinity is a concept that only Conrad and Belly together alone have talked about. So if you remember in the season 2 finale, he gives it back. It's this thing they keep trading back and forth. He gives it back. She takes it. She keeps it. If Jeremiah, let's say college Belly and Jeremiah, right? Hanging out at the dorm. Jeremiah's in Belly's room and comes across the Infinity Necklace.
Oh.
Does he think anything
of
it?
Where that came from? No.
Okay. You don't think it's one of those things like, you know, like, do you think he will have paid attention that when they were together, she was wearing it, and when they're broken up, she's not?
No.
Because that was also a gift that Conrad gave her, right? So Susanna even said, oh, I love that necklace on you. But you're thinking Jeremiah is oblivious.
I mean, I'm just thinking that she probably has multiple jewelry items.
Okay. So you don't think that if he finds the Infinity next season, he won't be like, and what the fuck is that about, Belly?
Well, if that's the case, then he is aware. He's in on the joke.
All right. And then last but not least, book to show. It's not going to play the same way because Belly is not a virgin anymore. Do you think that it's still going to be a big deal for her to have sex with Jeremiah? Like, do you think there's a part of her that holds back having sex with Jeremiah, not jumping into it? And do you think that he's going to feel some kind of way about that?
Oh,
with or without knowing about Conrad? So, like, if he doesn't know about Conrad, but she won't have sex with him, that's probably...
That might lead to the fight.
That might lead to something. And if he calls her paranoid, that's another thing. If he knows about Belly and Conrad mm-hmm. having had sex and she won't have sex with him, does that in some ways make it worse?
No.
It makes it the same? So either way, Belly should put out for Jeremiah, regardless of...
If she's ready, if they're at that point.
Okay. But I think it says something different, right? If she feels like she's not ready with Jeremiah, but was immediately ready with Conrad.
I mean, it had to be the perfect time. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? Like, because Jenny made
not my
that
wheelhouse.
Because Jenny made that change is what I'm saying, right? It's going to shift mm-hmm. the dynamic around slightly from what happened in the book. Because I think part of the reason that Belly was so hurt by the Lacey thing is also because she was a virgin and she was inexperienced. I guess she knew the side of Jeremiah that Belly, for as much as she's known Jeremiah her whole life and has dated him for 2 years, she didn't know yet. And I think that if Jeremiah has this thing with Lacey, is Belly going to be as upset?
I'll defer to you.
Is it as upsetting? I don't know the answers to any of these questions. I'm just posing them.
We'll find out.
Okay.
All right, guys. This has been the first episode of Book Club. Really fun.
The next episode of this mini series will be all about chapters 7 through 12.
Yep.
So we'll stop at 13, guys. That is the reading assignment. As you guys know, you got Audible with the Lola and Chris narration. You can buy that on Audible. It's also available on YouTube. And on YouTube, you can actually access it for free. Other than that, thank you to everyone one more time that sent in your comments, notes, feedback, thoughts, questions. What we'd like to do is actually pull a couple of those, share them on air, and maybe we'll get a few of you guys on here to share your thoughts as well. But thank you so much for listening, guys. We are super excited about Book Club, and we'll see you next time.